I'm not certain about what other band you're referring to, because I'm not hearing any ducting going on. But that should be appropriate, because you're on the viaduct.
Yes, sir, it is. It was on 220, as a matter of fact. I thought it was this band, but I guess I had to squelch open a little bit. Anyway, here I is, in the flesh. We dropped a doubleheader yesterday over at Juniper Valley Park, and it was cold, so I would imagine it's going to get colder each Sunday that goes by now. Only 2 weeks left, and then we have playoffs. Or is it next weekend's the last regular season game, and then playoffs? And I got a busy month, too. I'm finally doing the ruse, so that's happening next week.
I take it your next plane trip down to the Rat's Mouth is not until after the playoffs are over?
I might try and do a long weekend by Christmas time. I'll see. I don't have any times left, so I'm pretty much, I didn't come off yet. I'm in my second week of on-call duty to make up for the month that I missed. So, I might do another long weekend, you know, to check on the place and that kind of stuff. We'll see. But not till after New Year's.
Okay. So, must be nice to have a place you can just get away to down south where you know it's always going to be warm.
Yes. There is some comfort there, but I got work to do down there, too. You know, can't do it in a weekend, cleaning the place out. That's, takes time. And if anybody's there with you, it's going to distract you. So it's, I don't know if I want to do this on my own, but, you know, we're talking about a week at least to clean out close. I know you know. You've been there.
Been there, done that more than once. Any case, it's just got to be done. So... I also had the joy of selling it because I wasn't keeping it.
Where was the place? I don't remember.
Oh, I had my parents' house up here in Old Bethpage. I also had the apartment. Let's see, where was the apartment? Lauderdale? I think it was.
And just the desire, huh, to keep it?
I had no desire, and there was also the headache of dealing with my brother at the time.
Oh, yes. Well, interestingly enough, the deed was transferred over to me. And I know they can't do that unless it states it in the will, so... I spoke to, again, this is not my attorney, it's my father's attorney down there. And he just said if there's any problems, you tell your brother to tell his attorney to call me, and I'll straighten the whole thing out. I said, okay. So, I don't know if it's over, but, you know, he's the one that's got to make a move if he's going to. I don't know if he is. He doesn't have the funds or the facilities to do that.
Well, hopefully he won't, because that'll make matters even that messier. My son was witness to a will, actually a modification of a will, which cut one of the sons out, so he just had to sign another affidavit that the will was signed without any duress. And it's going to get messy, and he'll probably end up having to go into surrogate's court and testify. son was the witness. Thankfully, that's all he was.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, the state of Florida's got plenty of practice with these kind of things because there's a lot of unscrupulous family members that try to take advantage even before the parties are gone. So I know they have a lot of elder laws in effect down there that I don't know if they have in New York. Might be a little more enhanced because there's more elders there.
Well, I know a little bit about the family because I know both of the boys through scouting. One's a nice, upstanding young man. The other one, I will not mention my thoughts on him because I'm on a public radio facility. And the one who I have less than laudable thoughts about is the one who got cut out of the will, all except for a sum of cash.
Yeah, well, it's interesting with my parents. They did a modification about 5-6 years ago, and well, I mean, he knew it was coming. I don't understand what he thinks it is, but I guess he thought that they didn't go to the extreme that they said they would, and they did.
What my son's friend's father had done is not cut one son out of the will completely, but made it clear that he was not to get much. As a result, is less likelihood to be contested than if he had been cut out completely. You know, the courts take a look. If one son gets cut out completely, they look at it very carefully. Maybe there was a mistake here.
Yeah, this is what I tried to explain to my parents when they were around. And I don't know what they did exactly, but I'm not seeing or hearing a whole lot. So, do I expect trouble? I guess. But he's the one that's got to bring it. Anyway, I'm starting to get hit with the hospital bills now. They're starting to trickle in.
Well, if the deed has already been transferred over into your name, that means the will has probably already passed probate because they can't do that until the courts inspect the will, et cetera, et cetera. But, so I don't know what actions your brother could have at this point.
Yeah, exactly what I was trying to lead to. So, you know, he'll make my life miserable. Hopefully he'll do what he's done, you know, in the past, just not bother with any of us.
Well, money has a bad habit of bringing out the worst in people, and people come to the surface when there's money involved.
Give it to him. Yeah, I know. Oh well. C'est la vie, as they say. In the meantime, I've taken steps to prohibit access from the domicile, so that's all in effect. Everything is working out okay down there now. I can view the household daily. ADT had to go in there and change out a sensor, and since then there's been no troubles, so that's that. And all access outside has been, you know, changed out, or codes have been changed out, so that's that also. I don't anticipate a whole lot of problems, but we'll see. As you said, where there's a will, there's relatives.
trip, you find out you had relatives you didn't know you had.
So changing gears a little bit, I am glad that I did not watch the Jet game yesterday. I was working outside and I had it on the radio, so it was, you know, productive even though the Jets weren't. It was a nice day. A little chilly in the morning. A little breezy going up my my softball uniform.
I took a good to be me day and just loafed around. I'm at the toll plaza, so it was time for me to say 73. It was a very, very easy commute today. You should be at work very shortly. All right, good luck with Florida. And 2ZEP is clear.
Okay, have a good one. Watch out for that parade. KB2EN, QM Mobile. See you later.
Just living within 50 including a place I never heard of, which was Iceland, I think it's not Iceland. A-I-S-L-A-N-D. I don't know if it's part of Finland or it's a group of islands between Sweden and Norway. And has its own DX CC identity. So I picked up a new notch on my LPCW list for sight.
Repeater, timeout. Repeater, timeout. Cancel.
Let me let this drop and reset. Hold on. Alrighty, I'm not sure what's going on with the system or what state we might be in terms of receivers on or what have you, or even the link, because last night I turned it on after the weddings, and it sounded like the RLP link was back, so maybe they're having trouble with the RF link. In any case, we're all on the west now. You were monthly noisy, but I think I got most of it, so I'm not sure why that was or what the situations are now, but anyway, okay, on your daughter, I heard that she's in town, that's good, and on the HF and on the contact, the new location, well, that's good, yeah, add that to your list of DX spots, very fine. I don't know if there was a New York State QSO party going on or something, but I wasn't on this weekend, so, but I'm all set to go. I mean, I'm back on HF slowly, and maybe next weekend we'll have some more activity. We'll have stuff going on. My granddaughter's birthdays are coming up, and a bunch of stuff. So anyway, so that's good. So you got the HF. I wonder if you had any antenna cable talk over the weekend. Back to you.
We got a little bit of that in, and I think for now we decided I would put up a vertical first, and that will establish the mast. And then I think once the mast is up, we'll see what follows. Now I just gotta figure out when to do it, or get someone to help me, or hire somebody to see what's available, and think about where to put it exactly. So, made some progress.
And Y2H Mobile, well, it's good. You know, and most of the fun I find is the planning and the execution, and then it's almost anticlimactic after it's all done, you know. You want to do another one? Maybe, maybe not. But that's good. Sounds like a plan. All right. And, should be fun. And with this crew, you know, you might get some volunteers to help you out. And I know that oftentimes somebody puts up a new antenna in, and they get offers for help and assistance. A good crew, you know. You're up there a little bit, I guess, but still might be some folks that would be willing to help you from down here or even up in that area. I don't know if you go on the machines up there. Is that one, was it Wicker or something? It's pretty popular. So. Alrighty, made a nice trip this morning. I didn't leave, I left a little bit late, but somewhere. Oh, I made Columbus Day, that's why. I'm working, you're working, but yeah, supposedly there's a holiday going on. That explains it. It was an easy trip. Okay, so I suspect your trip is a little easier this morning, too, due to the holiday. Back to you.
QQKKX. Yeah, so far it's been pretty light. Just about to get off the Deegan to head into Manhattan. And, yeah, the Columbus Day traffic is a plus, and I'm sure it'll all come back tomorrow. Thanks for the company, and we're just merging. passing on to the FDR. So have a great day, and hopefully we'll catch you in the morning. JC2, KKX, clear.
73P, NY2H mobiles, clear, don't QRT.
GOG and the mobile monitoring E5.
This is KB2 station monitoring. This is Kilowatt 6, David Peter Zebra, East Bell, Southern State.
Close, but up one more prefix. Kilo Charlie 2, Golf Oscar Golf. Good morning, Al. How are you?
All right, I just heard you fast. I had the volume turned down on the transceiver. We're just going out east on the southern state here. Looks like a halfway decent day, so we'll see what turns out. Go ahead.
I guess you're making your way out to get up in the air today. Definitely looks like it's pretty good visibility out there. Not too hot and not too cold. Seems like it'll probably be a good day for that.
Yeah, before I get to do that, I have to take this car by the Mini Cooper place. There's something that, the sun is not right with the clutch. It has an odor to it, and I gotta see what's going on. Well, hopefully I'll get in the air today if this car passes that inspection.
Hopefully you're able to figure that out. I guess on an odor note, and probably something that you could appreciate, I was at the Barra Hamfest on Saturday. Jersey, and among my various deals that I got, I was in the market for a Simpson 260 VOM to replace one that I regretted getting rid of a long time ago. So a lot of guys had these for like, you know, $30 or so. Of course, they didn't have the leads for them. They're kind of a proprietary connector. But lo and behold, I found one brand new in the box. Leads and everything, manual, the whole nine yards. For $40, and it smells like it's been packed in oil for at least 30 years. So my wife, like, yelled at me. She's like, take that thing down to the basement. It smells like oil.
It's good, 260 in the box, and it works good. That's good. That's a standard. The 630 triplet and the 260 Simpson are both very standard VOMs. They're 20,000 ohm per volt, and I like some of the analog stuff better than digital.
Yeah, all I had for quite a while have been digital meters, and I miss getting rid of the analog one because there's certain things that you can see a lot easier on an analog meter than digital, especially if you're trying to look for like a scale or a change or something. It's a lot harder to do that visually. And say, oh, look, the number has jumped up from this much to this much. You can usually just eyeball it much quicker on a analog meter. So I was happy with that, and I got a 220 mobile TM331 Kenwood for $10. Somebody had put the power lead and the antenna lead off, and I figured it was worth rolling the dice for $10. Got it home, opened it up, threw some new leads on it, and there you go, 25 watts on 220. So I just got to put a new CMOS battery in there, and otherwise it's ready to go.
The sin of an angular, you came out like a fat rat. You did good. I forgot all about that. And I'll tell you, I haven't been going to the, I used to go to the flea markets in Jersey, New Hampshire, but ever since eBay really took over the scene, and people are putting a lot of their stuff on eBay, and they're not really flexible to sell stuff, you know, with price-wise. I haven't really gone that much. I go to the local ones here because I know, you know, a lot of people. But you did good. And yeah, 260 for what you paid, and a 220 rig, and now that the 220 repeater is percolating, I think you made some of the right choices.
I think so. Even when I factored in the cost of tolls, two passes over the Throgsneck, one over the GW, another 50 cents to the Jersey Turnpike, plus gas, I still came out ahead. which I was on the fence about going, because I had to factor that into the pricing. So even if I took that and divided that across all my purchases, I'm still happy with what I went. And I was actually surprised. There were a lot of familiar faces out there. Jerry Didiem, one of the Limark, I think he's a director or treasurer, I forget. He's skipped around over the years. He was out there. A couple other guys were out there. It was a pretty well-attended show, and it wasn't like the same stuff that you see at, like, the Limark or Ozark shows out here. So it was good to see, like, oh, I can tell that piece of stuff has been hanging around, but it was new to me, so I don't know. There were a lot of good deals going on out there. One thing I kind of regretted a little bit, I had it in my hand, and another guy made an offer on I want to say it was a TM7130. I think that was the model, but in any event, it was a Kenwood 2-meter raw mode. Screws were off the covers, but otherwise it looked in good shape for $20. And then I talked to the guy who bought it later. He brought it back to his car, and it worked out perfect. So another one that I missed. Oh well.
Wait, you were holding it in your hand, and this guy makes an offer on it? That's not right. You know, you put it down, guy makes an offer. But you're holding it in your hand, the creep made an offer, I would have made issue to it, believe me.
Yeah, no, I joked about it, but then it was, well, no mic, no power cord, looked a little fugly, figured, you know, live to fight another day. And if I got that, then I might have been $20 less and missed out on some other stuff that I got. So I guess it all worked out for the better. Besides, I think I'm going to get more, as you said, of the 220 radio than the 2-meter sidebands that I missed out on. Oh well.
Point I'm getting at, you know, got it or not, if you're holding it in your hand, if you want to put it down or something like that, fine. Somebody else wants to make an offer. If you're holding it in your hand, the other guy should have the damn courtesy to wait till you put it down or made a decision.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. It's, you know, ownership's like 9/10 of the law, like when it comes to the TV remote controls. I had it in my hand, I would have got first pass, and I did. You know, like I had it open, I had the cover off, and me and the other guy were looking at it while we were talking to the owner, but I was like, yeah, I'm going to pass on it, you know, even at $20. I knew I would have had to have paid more than $20 for it, $21 probably, but in any event, you know, looked like it was a little bit too much of an annoyance, but all in all, it was pretty good. The only thing that I need to do, I don't know if you have experience on the Kenwood 221, 321, 421, that series. When I popped it open, one of the tuning coils, the slug was like sticking out really far. It seems so far a right-on receive just by tuning around and keying into different repeaters, but I have a feeling it's a little off. Have you ever played around with those? And, you know, I know they're pretty rock-solid type of radios, but I don't know if you've had your hands in enough of those to see, like, well, yeah, a coil should be sticking out, slug should be sticking out a lot, or should it be further in?
I've worked on Kenwood for years. I know the radio. What I'm, you're telling me the position of the coil, where it's at on the board, I can't give you an honest answer, but I do service and repair Kenwoods. And that was one of the piles we do work on. I would say, does it look like the wax has been disrupted, or does it look like it's waxed in that position?
No, I mean, this is one of the silver cans, about a centimeter square. Probably Toco makes it, a ferrite tuning slug with a hex center on the, if you're facing the radio front towards you, it's one of the four tuning coils for receive sensitivity. I think it was L2. I looked it up in the service manual to see what part that was and see what effect it has. But those four coils, as I understand it, affect the tuning sensitivity. I'll have to play around with it and hook it up to the right piece of test equipment, but it kind of jumped out at me because it was sitting, you know how large those slugs are that fit inside of there. So I'd say probably about half its length was above the top of the coil itself, which I thought was kind of strange. But the radio looked like it was never open, so I'm guessing it just came that way from the factory.
The spark tube coils, they could tune in two places, all the way out with a slug or all the way near the seating bottom because you're passing by the inductance. So I would say if it's receiving okay, if you check it on a generator, and if you rock the coil and it's peaked, don't worry about it. You know, it could have been one of the components in production, capacitors, across the coil, may not have been the closest tolerant value, and the coil had to have the least amount of inductance to have it be resonant to the peak.
Right, then I'll leave it alone. That's what I kind of figured was the case, but I figured you had to handle enough of these radios over the years. Probably know off the top of your head, but all in all, I'm happy. I wish I could have found like a 221 or something. One of the neat features of that set of series of radios is you can do like remote base. You have receive audio coming out of, I think, pin 7. So you could hook those up and do some pretty neat remote base things. Whereas like the Solinko radio that I'm using on pin 7 comes out remote for like different mic functions. So from what I know of stuff that I had, sometimes those Kenwoods are kind of desirable. From what I could tell on eBay, I was actually surprised at how much these 220 monobanders of this particular model have been selling for, so that probably proves that point that a lot of guys are probably snapping these up just for that reason.
No, I know the set. That's a nice little radio. You did good. But that guy better be happy that I wasn't there and I was holding that that single sideband transceiver, because I had to give him a new lesson in etiquette.
Yeah. I think you probably would have lived to fight another day, much like I was, because there were a lot of deals, and especially for somebody who's as handy as yourself professionally, you would have saw a gold mine there in terms of things that you could have picked and flipped, you know, pretty quickly.
Well, you know, if you have it in your hand, basically, if it looks good, don't hesitate, buy it. You can always dump it later.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the guy did give me the first crack at it. I was like, yeah, no thanks. I think the only thing that I really regret there, the same guy that I bought this 220 rig from, he had another older Kenwood, probably like a 7-something. One of those four-digit ones, the older ones with like the keyboard push buttons on the front of it, mobile 440. He wanted $10 for that too, but I figured I'll test my luck on the one. Thinking about it, I probably should have bought the other one, because then I would have got as equally of a good deal on a 440 radio.
Well, hindsight's 20/20. It did okay, you know. I didn't even realize they had the Dara market on Saturday. Oh, since I went to go on anyway, I had quite a few projects to take care of, and the weekends, it makes it a little hard. But you did well, though. You know, and you'll have a little fun with stuff. Yeah, a lot of stuff is coming out there that's not too expensive, because everybody is buying these new whiz-bang radios for under $100.
Yeah, well, the Chinese branded ones. There was this one guy who was on the repeater a fair amount, Craig KD2CKX. He was there, and he had a bunch of those radios. And I've had one of the Baofengs in the past, and it's like, it's good for what it is, but it's like not my cup of tea. So I figured, you know, I could use that money elsewhere. So, you know, they are what they are, but I have had my eye on I think it's a Wushang, or a Pusheng, I forget which company it is. It seems like all of them make the same variant, but there is a 2-meter 220 and a 440 220 HT for like $60 on eBay. I was thinking to buy one of those, but we'll see. If I still have some budget left over after the Hosark show this coming weekend, I might snap one of those up, or maybe I'll wait for the Limark one, see what deals I have there, but I have a feeling it's kind of always like the same stuff at the Limark show later this month. You know, aside from us, you know, catching the familiar faces, usually it's the same stuff. So a couple other little odds and ends I need. I can wait, but we'll see what happens. KC2GOG Friday, and I'm making excellent time in zero traffic this morning.
Yeah, I'm on the Southern State. And we're doing good. I get up to the Meadowbrook and then swing south on the Meadowbrook. Go to the dealer. It'll be their first thing. Something is not right here, and I want to see what they say. Brand new clutch. And it shouldn't have a friction odor to it. Not after I put almost 150 miles on it. So I'm going to let them check it out. Well, that's good. You got a lot of stuff you picked up, and you like to tinker with it. So you have a lot of fun. I know the older stuff is still repairable. It's the new stuff that you get it, if it doesn't work, you can almost throw it out.
Yeah, I can't even imagine if somebody asks you to fix one of, like, a Baofeng HT or something. Chances are somebody would know better, but I can't even imagine trying to mess around with those, you know, some component burned out, maybe aside from, like, the power transistor or something. Anything else would probably just be, like, not worth it. Maybe the controls, anything else, probably not worth the headache, especially for, like, how much some of those cheaper radios go for, or even some of the higher end, like the ASU-HTs, or even some of the newer HF sets and VHF-UHF radios. You're right, probably just give it up. Probably not worth it, except if it's something, like, relatively easy to do, unless you're really good with magnifying glasses and SMD components.
It's not the point that you just do it with a magnifying glass. The point is you have to weigh the time you put into it versus the value of the set. And on some things, time is not worth the value. Unless somebody is emotionally tied to a piece of equipment and they say, okay, I want it fixed. But then if the parts are not available, you know, you can't create the OEM-type specialized parts, components, and chips. That's one of the things I'm running into now on certain model radios, on the, like, Kenwood 850s and the few of the other radios have DDS chips in them. They're no longer available. But that's the nature of the beast. And I use the rule of thumb. The price of the repair is half the new, half the used replacement price. It's worth repairing, or else go find another one used.
Yeah, I hear you. A few months ago, there was a guy I bought a VHF, UHF, SWR power meter from on Craigslist. And I asked the guy if he had anything else for sale. He had, took me over, took me on the tour of the shack, and he's like, oh, come here, let me show you something up in the attic, you know, one of the hidden radios from the life kind of stories. So he takes me up there, showing me his telescopes and all this other neat stuff, and he pulls out a TS-430, and he wanted something like $150 for it, and I thought, that sounds awfully low. I popped it open, and I could just tell just with how all that nasty wax and all that other stuff that holds things together there, it just looked like too much of a mess to have to deal with, putting the time and effort into it. That's like a backup radio, and I probably would have put in, you know, $300 worth of work into it to get it, so I figured, pass. I think the guy still has it, though, if you're interested in that kind of stuff.
Well, the question is, a 430, when you say wax, first of all, do the screws on the side of the radio look like they've been opened? That's the first thing you look at. Those are metric Phillips screws. And so if the people have tried to get into it and work on it, you'd see the edges of the screws would be burned. If the screws are nice and fresh, haven't been burned, and you open it up and none of the coils look like they've been touched, then I would say it's not a bad game to try and get in and make it fly. If he didn't know what was wrong with it, if it didn't come on, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There are a couple of inherent problems with a 430. Intermittent relays on a low-pass filter board. But that's not the end of the world either, as far as that goes.
Everything that you mentioned, that's what it was. It looked like at some point it was probably Golden Screwdriver, and he wasn't the original owner, so, you know. You have to have a discerning eye, especially when it's, oh, you can't power it up or anything, which was weird. The guy could have, like, oh, yeah, let's go throw it on the bench and, you know, hook it into a power supply. But wasn't amenable to doing that, which was strange, so pass on that.
So do you have the power cable for it? That's a 6-pin mullet.
No, he didn't. I said, I have some little alligator cables in my car. You can go get them and you just, you know, look up the pinout for it, because I don't remember that off the top of my head. I mean, he just, you know, powered up me. He's like, no. I was like, all right, whatever. Anyhow, I'm somehow magically in the parking lot, and it looks like I'm going to get above ground parking today. So I'm going to clear with you, Hal. Thanks for keeping me company, and have a fun day flying today. K6DPZ, this is KC2GOG, listen out.
KC2GOG, K6DPZ. Now, I hope to get up, depending on what happens with this car of mine. That's the first priority. We'll see what happens. Have a good day. What is next ride? Hold on. Long Jones Beach. Hold on one sec. Almost missed my exit here. Okay, let you go. And sounds like you're going to have fun. K6DPZ is going to be clear. QRZ. WB2ZSC. Hi, Steve. What's happening?
Oh, a very pleasant drive in this morning so far. I don't want to give it a pat on the back, but, you know.
We're just on the Meadowbrook Parkway going towards 9W to bring this thing in. I got to see what's going on here.
You're on the Meadowbrook going. Isn't that in the opposite direction?
Down to the dealer. I have an odor coming off the clutch.
9W is like, you know, in the Bronx.
No, it's the last exit before you go towards Jones Beach. That's where Astro Mini's service department is.
You don't mean road 9W, you mean exit 9W. Okay, I gotcha.
Exit 9W, that's all. And I want to see what this is. I have other plans to do things today. Trying, well, get up in the air, but this car has to come first.
Yeah. No, I know the place. It's on the north side of Sunrise Highway. I think it's in Freeport, isn't it?
It's on Sunrise. This is Service Department, which is near Merrick Road.
Okay. I thought I remember seeing it in Freeport. I know the dealer around the block from me is quite a bit further out, but I got a mini dealer semi around the corner.
Mini is over on whatchamacallit. They're over on the Sunrise Highway. The service facility is a little bit further down.
Okay. Yeah, no, I know I've seen Mini over there on Sunrise. But, there's a Mini dealer sort of around the block from where I live.
Okay, that would be off of Sunrise.
No, actually, well, from Jericho Turnpike in Huntington.
Okay, yeah, there is one out there, too. So we're just getting off now. Swinging around real fast. I'm just concerned about this. We should not have an odor problem on a clutch. You know, unless something is not adjusted right, we have some friction existing. So we're going to find out. Almost here, Stephen. I'll let you go. I will hold on a second. I will catch you later.
Okay. Talk to you later, Al. K6DPZ, WB2ZSC.
AJZSC, K6DPZ, QRT.
Good morning, Steve.
you in a few weeks. Are you still here?
Good morning, Steve, K2KNB.
Hey, Rich, how's it going?
I just leave a pause there for Ed. Don't know, phone call with him or equipment breakdown. Anyway, everything is good. I heard you're having an easy ride in, so that's a good thing.
Yes, extremely pleasant. Almost like a Saturday.
Okay, well, schools are closed. I keep forgetting, you know, because these holidays, I think, were more significant when we were younger. But nowadays, it's a kind of a business as usual, except that the schools are closed. I don't know, the post office is open or closed today?
I'm sorry, what was that last question? WB2EAB is back.
Hi, good morning, Ed. Question was whether the post office is open today, or banks. I'm not sure. Good question. Ed?
That is a good question. Although I have to tell you, the Bethpage post office, for one, I don't know about Plainview, but the Bethpage post office has this 24-hour access automated postal center that does most of what you might want to do in a post office, but obviously not all. But gee, I don't know.
I didn't look either, and I think they used to be more significant when the holidays were on the actual days that the holiday fell.
That's true. But I don't remember, it's Columbus Day. I can't remember if Columbus Day is one of those Monday holidays. I guess it is. But again, I think when we were younger, more places closed. It was just different. And then, of course, when we were younger, I think we celebrated two separate presidents' birthdays in February, which they then combined into the one. So, whatever. Progress, I guess. Business. I don't know. Ed?
Greed. No, a large part of it is a lot of companies have made a move in the past 20 to 30 years to give employees Christmas week off at the expense of cutting back on the lesser holidays. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Well, kind of like when I'm off for Christmas week, it's a wonderful thing. But when I have to work on President's Day, it stinks. So, by the way, Steve, I just had to change the battery in my radio. I don't know what happened, but I just charged up the batteries, and there's something wrong because it brought my call okay, but then when you came back to me, every time I had to push the talk, it would cut off in a matter of moments. Steve?
It sounded like a radio issue of some kind, but... You know, I wasn't sure myself. Anyway, the traffic is so good, I am actually around the corner from my office.
Oh, that's a good thing. I noticed this morning Macy's is going to have this store open on Thanksgiving Day for the first time. I think they said in 100 years or something. But, you know, I guess their figuring is you have hundreds of thousands of people watching the Macy's Day Parade ends at Macy's, and then you can't go into the store to buy. And, some places, particularly here in the north, will close for that Christmas week because sometimes the cost of heating a place during that winter time is very much offset by what you're saying, Ed, working schedules around so that you can give people that week off and save on the cost of heating, which is what the school systems generally did also. Ed, back to you. This is K2KNB.
I understand heating a facility can be significant, but there's a limit to how much you can back off on it. You're not gonna have buildings with plumbing go below freezing. So there's a limit to how far you can back off on the heat. But you know, in general, I think it's a very good idea that a lot of places now give the employees off for Christmas week. I've worked it both ways, and and they both have their pluses and their minuses, but I guess having Christmas week off beats out getting the smaller holidays by a little bit. In any event, I have this rig is a HT. It's an ICOM HT that comes with a battery pack that uses rechargeable AA's. And I think I have a batch of AA's that have reached the end of life, because I just recharged them all, and it worked for about 1 minute. But I have the facilities to check them out thoroughly, so we'll see. Rich?
I wasn't sure he might have passed Steve by.
Steve's parked. I'll talk to you later. WB2ZS.
That's what I thought.
Alright. My fault. I'm paying attention. Anyway, it also makes sense from the point of view that, particularly with young parents where the kids are off during Christmas, and these days with both parents very often working, it just makes for a better situation. At least if one parent could be home during that period of time. So, not a bad thing. Anyway, Ed, what else is doing by you?
Let's see, I saw you about a week ago. Not much has happened since then. I don't know. I can't think of anything. I'm drawing a blank. Give me a minute.
Okay. Well, drawing a blank. Gotta get past that page and move on to a page that has text on it, that's all. Anyway, I assume nothing has changed with that other situation, so... But, we're pretty much set for that, should it come to fruition.
Well, we'll see how it plays out. We may be on a short... We may possibly be on a shorter time scale than we were discussing, because some things are happening there. Things may, in a positive way, move up. We'll have to see. Oh, by the way, I have made up my own quasi-religious edict, the fatwa, if you are. You want to hear it?
Sure, as long as it's not illegal, immoral, or fattening.
My statement is, the full faith and credit of the United States is sacred and inviolate. Trying to use it as a bargaining chip is an abomination.
Well, you know, most people say that it's not going to happen. And the other thing is, too, that the whole concept that we run out of money, I don't quite follow that myself. You know, I think you just cut back on other spending and you pay off your debt. That's what you would do in your home. You would cut back and, you know, cut back on your food and cut back on certain other things so that you could pay off